part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
See, the death of Christ seems to put a huge hurdle, a wall, even some would want to say, in the Emmanuel plan of God. Is it something that God had foreseen, that this is going to happen? Will this be the falling apart moment of the Emmanuel Fest? The climax of the Emmanuel concept is our topic today with Mfundisi Pastor Mvunelo as we wrap up our study on Christmas Unusual. We're looking at Emmanuel consummated judgment and coming in. Of course, Mfundisi joins us on the line to take us through the closing steps. Mfundisi, good afternoon and welcome once again to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon, Derek, and thank you for reaching out to engage on this topic, on this theme. Especially this time of Christmas when everybody is thinking about Christ, thinking about the birth of Christ. So that was an opportune thing that you did. Thank you very much.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much, Mfundisi, for availing yourself as well. And we pray that the work that the Lord intended to be done in this time, for such a time as this, has been accomplished. Mfundisi, as we now go into the final remarks, the final moments, let's start with where we began. We began on day one, Emmanuel conceptualized, speaking about the pre-creation, how this idea of Emmanuel, God with us, God is not an afterthought. God had already foreseen it. In fact, before the fall, before any challenge, God always wanted to be with humanity. So before man is created, God wants to be with man. That's why he then creates him, because of his great love for him. We then also spoke about Emmanuel memorialized with the creation account and how that is him being instituted in time and say, this is how we are going to be with man. And we see that unfortunately there comes a crack in this great monument God is building through the entrance of the scene crisis. But thankfully God had a plan already again, right from the foundation of the earth, right? With how God in Christ is going to reconcile the world to himself. And so we see the enfleshing of this Emmanuel concept as Christ the man walks amongst us, God made flesh. And today now we're talking Emmanuel consummated. I mean, he's dead now. What is to be consummated? That's what we ended up by speaking about yesterday, that he died. What's next after death?
Yeah, you summed that our week well as we end with today's episode installment. So what happens then is Jesus, after his death, was his resurrection. Mm. He resurrects and he goes to heaven. Now, not many people understand what happens in heaven. It's a whole complicated thing, but he, and this is very important for us for today and every other day, he does not stop being Emmanuel with us. Now he has he came as God to us through the birth at the time we now think of as Christmas. We don't know the date. We don't know the details.
Okay.
We don't. When it happened, it doesn't matter when it happened. That's not our concern. Mm. The fact of the matter is Jesus was born. There was a Christmas period. So God came to us and lived among us. But now when he goes back to heaven, he is no longer Jesus, God who was coming to us. He is now the God who is carrying him, I mean, who's carrying us with him. So in one of the books that I have written, I talk about God with us, which is the direction he comes from heaven. And then the us with God. So Jesus now is us with God. He is now carrying, he is carrying us before God. He is humanity with God. Because he's the Jesus who was a human being. But as Jesus, as humanity with God, he is now our advocate. He speaks on our behalf. He stands in our place and he pleads our cases before God. So John talks about it and talks about the fact that we have a high priest and we have an advocate. So sometimes you're not sure which one it is, but all of them apply to Jesus, really, because he is our high priest who's able to plead our case before God. He's our advocate who's able to speak on our behalf. So he says, if you sin, you have an advocate who is able to speak on your behalf.
Okay.
He's able to speak. So after his death, then, Derek, to answer your question again, to emphasize, Jesus is us with God now. The reversal of the formula is a little different. It is us now with God. So the permanence of what God all along from pre-creation, as you reminded us of what we covered in this week, has now been realized forever through the birth of Christ, through the death of Christ. Humanity and God are one physically. They are one in flesh through the embodiment of Christ, and they are one in flesh even as Christ stands before God. So there's not a time that the intended goal is going to be separated. There's not a time we're going to say, no, we don't want to have Christ. The Bible talks about him as the Son of Man, or one of, I think of it differently, but let's not get into that now. He is the Son of Man. He's the Son of humanity and the Son of God. So that formula is permanent, is eternal, is forever. It cannot be reversed.
Yeah, and I think, like you're saying, I wish we had time. Time does not permit, like the author of Hebrews would say, because that's a lesson and a half, this reversal, us with God, and how permanently in the throne room there will always be a human being. I think that there is just profound godly science that, yeah, we would need one day, Mfundisi, to just really delve into that. I cannot wait. Pastor,
yeah, godly science, you're
yeah,
right. That's
yeah.
an appropriate word.
Yeah, true.
Like that.
Mfundisi, so, I just want to reiterate this idea of the resurrection, that the enemy thinks by killing Christ, he has defeated the Emmanuel plan. But it's being said by the resurrection that you cannot kill the Emmanuel plan. You cannot defeat it. It is etched in the eternal records that it will come to pass. And here we are seeing that. And now you're saying he's there in the throne room. And remember that Christ came from heaven. I mean, that's what he tells the disciples, right? No one has seen God except the one who is from God. And I'm going back to your father and my father. So he's been there. That's where he came from the father's bosom. He came here to reveal him. Now he's back at the father's bosom. You're saying it's not the end of the Emmanuel plan. It continues. How does it continue now from this space? Is Christ done with his work? What's the next phase?
Now, the book of Daniel pictures this in very interesting scenario. The swapping of roles, the advocate becomes also the judge. That's the interesting thing. Something that is unheard of. Something that is, it will be called corruption in South Africa. It will be called something else in other places, where God now gives the kingdom to Jesus Christ, but also gives him the responsibility to be the judge of the world. Now, this is where we need to have assurance. I know many people get terrified when they think about the judgment, because in their minds judgment is anti us. But listen, it is the same one who is our son, if you please, son of humanity, who stands now as a judge. to judge the whole world, to judge everybody. He stands now in judgment of everybody. So you have an unfair situation. We have an unfair situation here, Jerick. We are judged by our friend. We are judged by the one who came to die for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are judged by the one who came for us, the one who is for us. Paul so talks about this and he celebrates it. If God is for us, who can be against us? There Amen. Is nothing Amen. Under the sun that can be against us, because the one who has been for us, who has demonstrated even by his birth, his death, that he is for us, is now standing as it were against us as a judge. But in his standing against us as a judge, he is standing for us as a judge. He is standing as our friend to vindicate us, you know, to speak and clear us or exonerate us, to use legal terms. He is standing to excuse us from this charge. It's as though there is a charge that is standing against us. It's as though a charge sheet is brought in and we are told, hey, guys, you have a case. In fact, there are two Bible characters that illustrate it. Maybe I can pick one of them. Moses, for example. Moses' charge sheet is clear. He is guilty. Satan can claim him even in his death. And he is mine. This one is mine. But because he has Christ now as his judge, as his friend, and he says, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. He is removed. He's told to get away. Because, so, but where it also illustrates it, maybe I can touch on the second one, is Joshua, high priest in Zechariah.
Yes, yes.
It's the clothes, the garments of Joshua are evidently filthy. They are dirty. Indeed, like Joshua, we are standing guilty as charged before God. Guilty as charged. And yet, when God stands up to defend Joshua, when he stands to defend us, we are cleared. It doesn't mean that we are not standing as sinners. In fact, the Bible talks about it, I think, in Psalms. Who can stand against God? Who can stand if God were to put this charge sheet on any of us?
Yeah.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody can stand. But we stand because our defender, our judge, is God, who has been our defender. Daniel talks about him as the defender of your people. That's what he's told, that Jesus is the defender of your people. He's a defender of the people, even as Michael or Michael in the olden times, by his name, he was known as Michael at that time. But he stands as the defender of the people of God. This is something incredible. This is something unusual. This is This is something really, I don't know if crazy would be appropriate. It's crazy to think about.
The
one who is supposed to judge us is the one who is, while judging us, able to defend us. And now some people worry and they say, hey, why are we judged above and we are not there? And Peter is very clear. It starts with the house of God. It starts with the people of God. Then you say, but why are we judged and we are not there? We are not there to speak on our behalf. We are not able to defend our case.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to, because the one who stands there is the one that is on our side.
Mm.
This is the beauty of the judgment. And it is no reason to be terrified about, because it is about us being defended. Who is a better person to defend us than the one who died for us,
Man.
Than the one who came for us, than the one who is us with God, who is standing on our behalf before God? And so we are free. We don't even need to be there. Of course, there's confusion, Derek. You would know, even the song you played earlier on. There's sometimes confusion about which judgment we are talking about, because it's the two judgments that are yet to happen are confused.
Okay.
The one that is ongoing, the one that is current, that began when Christ moved to heaven, but also the one that is going to happen when Jesus Christ has come, when we have spent 1,000 years. But maybe if we had time, we would discuss that in detail. But there are several judgments that are happening. So this one that is current is the one that makes sure that the people of God are exonerated. So I always think of it this way. I always say it is a pre-Advent screening judgment. In other words, before Jesus Christ comes, they must make sure that there is no mistake that Derek goes to the wrong place and Amias goes to the wrong place. It makes sure that all the cases that are known to be ready, there's no mistake. Angels won't make a mistake. They will not come and resurrect a wrong candidate for the 1,000 years. I think of it as a vacation. We've only have 1,000 years vacation.
Vacation, right? But it's a working trip. Mfundisi, as you mentioned, this idea of judgment and how it's something we should look forward to. And I thank God for the examples you've given of how previous judgments have looked like. I mean, with Moses, with Joshua as well. And I'm reminded of David in 1 Samuel, no, it's actually 2 Samuel 24, verse 14, he says, "It is better to fall into the hands of the Lord, for he is mercy is great than to fall into the hands of men." You want to be having God as your judge. He is merciful. He is merciful. Our time is far spent, and we'll have to cut it short. I'm going to give you the last 2 minutes. In fact, it's a minute and a half that we have, to speak to us about how the second coming, the coming of Christ, consummates this Emmanuel principle, this Emmanuel concept we've been talking about this week.
All right. So one of the things we must remember is God had a telos, he had a purpose, he had a goal from the word go. And his goal was simple, really. It was to be with his people. It was to create a people to adopt us into heaven, to make humanity part of heaven. And so when Jesus Christ comes, or the coming of Jesus Christ with a trumpet blast and all the drama that will come with the coming and the resurrection of people who have died and all of that, the people of God will be taken to 1,000 years. But much more than the 1,000 years vacation I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
You will then be taken, brought back to what I call Earth 2.0.
Yes, sir.
You will be taken back to Earth 1.0, and it will be destroyed, and sin will be destroyed, and that's when there will be hell for the first time. Many people think there's hell in heaven. It will only happen that time, which is meant to destroy the devil, which is meant to clear sin once and for all, and whoever else has rejected God, whoever else has refused to go the way of God or accept the invitation to God with us, to Emmanuel, then we will go and live forever in the New Jerusalem. The Earth 2.0 takes place then, and there's new heaven, new earth, and so on. And in that, we will be with God forever and ever, never separated again from God. One of the writers that I've quoted many times during this week is, she says, sin and sinners are no more at that time. There will be no more death, no more pain, no more anything. So when Jesus Christ has come, when Emmanuel has been established now once and for all, we will have this God with us realized. The Bible speaks about it and says, look, the tabernacle of God is with humanity. Wow. It's with humanity. God has now. That is the final culmination of the Emmanuel plan that God had begun in pre-creation, that he brought Jesus Christ to make sure that it will be realized.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad. I am glad for the Christmas story, whether it happened on the 25th of December or not is immaterial. Whether that story has pagan heritage, it doesn't matter. But the Christmas story tells us one thing, and that is Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. God will be with us. He will realize his original plan, which he planned from the beginning. And he will have kept his deal where he wanted to be with humanity, and he will be faithful until the end.
Yeah, faithful until the end. What is it? Powerful, powerful lessons this week. We are so indeed. It's just a pity that time was not on our side. I think it's a concept we need to bring further, either to the Bible perspective or to Sinai, and really deliberate more on these beautiful, beautiful sounds, beautiful topics, where we can spend more time discussing them. And for example, I was really moved by the one you brought out at the last, this idea of God tabernacling with men forever. Oh my goodness. But Pastor Mvulelo, for the week that you gave us, God bless you, sir, and I pray that the people's minds have been refocused, the paradigm has been shifted in their minds to say, indeed, this is about Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is not just a person, it's this idea, this concept of being one with God. May that be our case. Until next time, Maruti, God bless you.
Blessings to you, and everything of the bless of the best for 2024 to you and your listeners.
Amen. Amen. Same to you, Mfundisi. Same to you.
Thank you.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to Baptist.